Join me in a moment of prayer as we ask God to illuminate us as we have the privilege of reading and hearing His Word. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the privilege we will have to read Your Word. We ask that You will give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to understand, and then hands that will live out what Your call is to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture passage tonight is from the Old Testament book of Judges. We're going to be looking at just a few short verses in chapter 3. We'll make some reference to some other areas in the book of Judges. And the context is this concept of the judges, this calling, this occupation that was given to a group of people by God and to carry out His will, to be at times redeemers for the people. And there's some inspiration and some blessing and some challenge in these stories. And so we're going to be reading verses 7 through 11, Judges chapter 3. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God, and they served the Baals and the Asherahs. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, so that He sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram-Naharaim, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. But when they cried out to the Lord, He raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, so that he became Israel's judge, and he went to war. The Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram, into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him, so the land had peace for 40 years until Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. And we'll pray that God blesses that reading and also as we reflect on it this evening. Many of us have older brothers or sisters. I think that's true for a lot of people. You may be the older brother or sister, but many of us have older brothers and sisters, and they have gone before us maybe in school, or they've gone before us in life. Now, if these brothers or sisters were successful, they did well in school, or they did well in life, there's this sense and this expectation that we're supposed to follow in their footsteps. Now, sometimes that might have been enjoyable. It was kind of fun to be so-and-so's little brother or little sister. Other times, maybe you had this experience, it could be frustrating, and it could include some pressure and some kind of unnecessary expectations. The same reality can take place regarding our parents. Maybe some of you have had parents who were accomplished and they were successful, and then were expected to do the same. Now, even if you didn't have an older brother or sister, or maybe your parents were not famous or maybe not greatly accomplished, most of us have witnessed this phenomenon of having to live up to and living up to expectations. Our passage this evening describes someone who was asked to live up to some pretty significant expectations. We read about a character by the name of Othniel. Now, he is identified as the first judge of Israel. And there were some significant tasks that were given to this person by the name of Othniel. Things for him to live up to, in a sense. One of them is this. We know from some previous reading of Scripture that Othniel was from a very good and respected and accomplished family. You might have made note and listened to twice it's referenced who his father was, and also there's a reference to who his uncle was. His uncle was Caleb, that legendary spy who had encouraged the Israelites to trust God. Even though the land of Canaan was full of these godless giants, Caleb had said, along with Joshua, that we can do this. We can be successful. We can live out what God is calling us to do. So that's the first thing that we know about Othniel. He was from a very good family. The other thing that we do know about Othniel was that he had already made a name for himself, in a sense, and he had enjoyed some success and had proven himself if you still have your Bibles open, if you turn to Judges chapter 1 and you look at verses 12 and 13, this is the first place we hear about this character by the name of Othniel. There was a threat to the people of God. And verse 12 says, "And Caleb said, I will give my daughter, Aksa, in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer." Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. So Caleb gave his daughter, Aksa, to him in marriage. So we see that Othniel was a skilled military leader. He had done something before. Othniel also had the expectations that came with the uniqueness of what happens here in chapter 3. Othniel is the first judge. There were a lot of hopes and there were a lot of aspirations for Othniel. The people were being oppressed, and God in his wisdom gives them this person, this leader, who's going to take them out of the oppression. So there was plenty of expectations that we see for this man named Othniel. But before we just study this passage maybe and Othniel in detail, it will be helpful to give more contextual observations and a few other things about this section of God's Word, and especially these verses in particular. This passage, like all Scripture, is significant. There is uniqueness and there's significance in it. The first and foremost, and this is a very global concept, but these verses are clear and they're undeniable proof of God's love for His people. Now, really, that's the entire message of Scripture. That golden strand of how God interacts with His people and how He blesses them is throughout the entirety of God's Word. Even though the people stray, even though the people wander, God is faithful to His covenant promises to care for and to love His people. So that's something to always reflect on, to always know, always embrace when we read a passage like this, is that love of God that we see in His provision. Now there's a second interesting concept here. Othniel is the first judge. And with Othniel and his role that he's given, there is an endorsement or a validation that takes place. And the validation is for this occupation or this calling. The concept of judge best described maybe as a civic or a civil leader, maybe even what we today call a politician. This role with Othniel is being established by God for the people. Judges were often military leaders, that's true, but they often and most frequently were also this political, judicial leader as well. And this section of Scripture gives validation to that occupation. And in a sense, in our Reformed traditions, where we often talk about the fact that there's no sacred or secular when it comes to what God calls us to do, we don't put a higher priority on so-called church work. It's not just preachers or missionaries or Christian school teachers that are furthering the kingdom. Every occupation is something that God says is an opportunity for us to share the gospel, to share the truth about who He is. And so with Othniel, he's the first judge, we see a blessing and this idea that God says this role, this position, this calling is something that I want within my kingdom, within the concept of occupations. Now, along that line and within these occupations, it's interesting that we know a lot about some of the judges. If you were asked to list some of them, your maybe education or maybe your church involvement resulted in you knowing about Deborah, and also maybe you knowing about Gideon or about Samson. But it's interesting that there's other judges that were apparently very, very significant, and they judged for quite a long time that we don't know much about. I'm curious if any of you knew, maybe if you looked ahead a little bit here, if you knew who Shamgar and Tola and Elon were, if you know who they are. We don't, and I have to confess that I didn't know much about them and maybe don't know much about them today. But all of these judges, whether they were the prominent people or maybe they were the role player people, all of them are part of God's plan to lead and to guide his people. And in some ways, the same is true within occupations and callings. We may know a lot about a certain person. We may know a lot about a certain occupation or calling. But all of them are significant and part of the kingdom. So back to the judges and back to this character. What are we told about this person in these few brief verses and a few other references we have about him? What can we learn from this story of Othniel and Othniel himself? There are three things that we want to focus on tonight. One is that he responded to God's call to lead and to be a judge of the people. We don't read any excuses. We don't read about any reluctance. He simply did what he was asked to do. He leaves what was likely a comfortable life to take on the responsibilities of being this new job, this new role, this judge. If you go back to the first chapter of Judges, we see this. Judges 1, we read about how he was given and as an acknowledgement of his success. He married into this family. But then it says, one day when she, this is his wife, Achsa, came to Othniel, she urged him to ask her father for a field. When she got off her donkey, Caleb asked her, "What can I do for you?" She said, "Do me a special favor. Since you have given me land," which he apparently gave to her and to Othniel, "also give me springs of water." And Caleb gave her the upper and the lower springs. As we said, he's given some very desirable land as a reward for his military accomplishment. This land includes two springs of water, which in that day was kind of like having oil wells on your land. He leaves this life, he leaves this situation that he has, and he accepts the call to be this first judge. Now, again, we're not told how that call occurred. For some of the judges, you remember there was some spectacular and miraculous things that happened. For Othniel, the Bible simply says the Lord raised up for them a deliverer. The next few verses describe this basic acceptance of the call to be the judge and the leader. There were no fleeces like they were described in the case of Gideon. There was no suggestion that his hair be woven into a loom like Samson. Apparently, Othniel just quietly, and he simply does his job. And I think that's something that we can all learn from. Sometimes we think that God is going to hit us with a lightning bolt, or there's going to be this revelation that we're given about what he wants us to do. That may happen, but quite often it doesn't. And being in tune with God's will, being in prayer and being in the Word and being in fellowship with other believers is more likely the way that we're going to sense what God's will and what God's direction is for our life. And at that point, we are challenged and should do like Othniel does and apparently just say yes to the call that we're given. A second item that we see after his acceptance of his call is interesting and it's very appropriate for today. It has to do with the mention of the Holy Spirit in this passage. Again, it's very simple. It's very basic. Scripture tells us in verse 10 that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Again, no details are given about what that meant or how specifically the Holy Spirit intervened. There's no mention of crafty or wily tactics that Gideon used. There's no description of superhuman strength like Samson. Again, Othniel apparently allowed the Holy Spirit to work through him. And the Bible says the Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram, into the hands of Othniel. So our second lesson that we see from Othniel is this idea that he was led by the Holy Spirit. The third thing we see in this passage is the Bible tells us that the land had peace while Othniel was the judge. Now, other Bibles instead of the word peace, use the word rest. Kind of a flip-flop translation situation. Some say peace, some say rest. But under the leadership of Othniel, the land, and that's also important to define that word land. The land didn't just mean the soil. In the Old Testament, when the land is referenced, it means the society. It means the culture. It means the institutions. And the people that are able to live in those places are being able to live without fear. And they're living in the protection that Othniel, with God's help, provided. Now back to the two words that are used in some of the translations. If the word peace is used, many of us are familiar with a translated word. The Hebrew word for peace is often shalom. The definition that shalom is given is this concept of balance of life. Also, there's a element of contentment when we talk about shalom. Everything kind of is the way it's supposed to be. Now, that's beautiful and it's appropriate, but it's helpful for us if we also consider the word rest. The word in the Hebrew language for rest is the word shakat. It's spelled S-H-A-Q-A-T. And this word has additional blessing. It means undisturbed. It means there's a lack of fear. It means that there's this sense of protection that is present. What a beautiful thing to think about, that the land, the society, the culture, endured 40 years of that concept of peace and of rest. So what Othniel did, what he was called to do, was he was used by God to bring, to establish, and then to maintain both that concept of shalom and shakat to the land. So those three things are what we see in these brief verses. He responded to his call. He relied on the Holy Spirit, and he also then prioritized the concepts of peace and rest. Now, it's important for us to take this and to transfer this to our world today. These are interesting, sometimes quaint stories from the Old Testament, but it's important for us to read this and to think, how does this apply to us? What does it mean in 2018? First of all, let's revisit those two general lessons. We can never hear enough, and our world can never hear enough, and a group of people can never hear enough and be reminded about God's love for us. This idea that God established the covenant with us, and that God will always maintain, he'll always keep, he'll always be faithful to that covenant. In our world of uncertainty, in our world of change, in our world of kind of disconnect, it is good to read this brief little story and to hear and to see that God was faithful to his people then, and he'll be faithful to his people today. We don't have anybody named Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram, Naharaim around today, but we do have challenges and struggles and threats that can cloud and they can block our view of God. But we also have the Word. And when we read these, it cuts through the fog, it cuts through the uncertainty, and it says, God loves us. God is faithful to us. God is a covenant-making and also covenant-keeping God. What a beautiful and necessary and wonderful reminder that we have. A second global thing, if we remember, we spent just a minute talking about this concept of the calling that was given, and a new calling that was given in a sense to the idea of a judge. It's always good to be reminded and to realize that, again, there is no sacred versus secular separation when it comes to occupations and callings. It's especially important for us as adults and that work with children and young people. I know this is a congregation. Many of you are educators, and many of you interact with children, with young people, and young adults. It's important for us to articulate and to share. The Bible is clear that kingdom service is not just about church jobs or religious jobs. The kingdom of God can be and is grown through church work, but it's also grown through whatever job or occupation that God gives to us and gives to people, and to be a witness within that calling. So those two things are good to be reminded of in our world today. Then there's those three lessons that we saw specifically to Othniel. The first one, if you remember, that Othniel responded to and accepted the call that God gave to him. Each and every one of us will have a calling. Now, sometimes in people's lives, that may shift and it changes. You may be in God's will in a certain situation. God in his wisdom and his promise may redirect you. We have may have multiple callings within our life. But whatever that specific calling may be, we need to do like Othniel did. We need to respond and to accept what God is asking of us. Now, it might be something huge. It may be something like Othniel, to be this leader of a large group of people. But if it's something less visible, it is no less important. Simply doing what task God places before us in that moment, in that day, in that season of our life, is what we're called to do, to say yes to whatever God places before us. The second specific lesson and transfer has to do with the Holy Spirit. And I know that this church and other churches today celebrated Pentecost, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit that occurred shortly after Jesus had lived on earth. We have the amazing privilege that we live in an amazing time when the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all people. Today, the Holy Spirit is continuously present. Now, our passage makes this interesting statement. It says that the Holy Spirit came upon him. Now, this is a bit of a mystery for us as we read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, regarding the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit. Apparently, the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was present, but then sometimes the Holy Spirit wasn't as visible, wasn't as present. Even in the book of Judges, we know that Samson, there's a statement that the Holy Spirit came upon Samson, implying that there were times when the Holy Spirit wasn't there. There's also the interesting situation with King Saul, that the Holy Spirit left King Saul. As I said, that's a little bit uncertain and maybe a little bit confusing for us. But the blessing that we have is we know that that's not true today. The Holy Spirit, following Pentecost, is available, is present, and so there's no excuse not to tap into that energy and not to just allow the Holy Spirit to give us confidence as we do the work that we've been called to do. Now, the third item, if you remember, was what did Othniel do? As a result of his talents and his ability, his role as a judge, what happened? And that was, if you remember, there was peace and there was rest in the land. And that's a very, very important goal and a very, very important part of our calling. This idea of what should our goals be as we accept the calling God gives to us, as we trust the Holy Spirit to lead us and to enact that, what should be our correct an appropriate definition of success? There are some temptations that we may have to deal with. Is it the praise of people? Is it financial success? Is it a more prestigious position sometime down the road? Now, those may take place, but they should not be our goal. No, our goal is to be used by God to help create homes. That's one of the biggest callings we all have. To create workplaces, kind of our role as employees and employers. A church, we all have a role within the church, both the local congregation, but also the church universal. And in our society. And if you remember those definitions that we had of peace and of rest, this idea of balance and commitment. And contentment, and making sure that we protect the places that we're leading and we're interacting with, protect them from fear. Hopefully, because of the calling we've been given and our leadership within that calling, they are going to be places where people are encouraged to love God and to love each other. Now, those three things that we just mentioned are pretty lofty goals. They're very high expectations. And the title of our message was the idea of living up to expectations. To accept the calling we've been given. That's a personal situation. To be spirit-filled is more kind of that vertical relationship. And then to seek peace and rest. Those are things that are placed in front of us by God. But with God's help, we'll be able to live up to those expectations in a way that Othniel did, in a way that we are called, and whatever that calling may be, whenever it may be, wherever it may be, God will use us to further His kingdom. Let's pray and ask Him to strengthen us in that. Father, we thank You for these stories in Your Word, these stories of people that You used. Help us to learn. Help us to have the same objectives and the same goals and the same desires that You have. We pray that You will help us to accept the callings that we are given, great or small. Help us to trust in the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us. And help us to pray that because of the leadership, because of our influence, that there will be peace and there will be rest. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.